Welcome to the world of Eris. My name is Max, and I'm the Dungeon Master for this collaborative storytelling adventure told using the 5th edition rules of Dungeons & Dragons. In this episode, we meet a halfling druid named Portlia.
Write your notebooks backwards from back to front?
I had two things. One was like real stuff. One was Dungeons and Dragons because I didn't have my other one. My Dungeons and Dragons is in the front as it should be. All the other crap is in the back. I got a new binder so I don't have to use it.
All right, no, it's fine. I thought that'd be really weird if you broke back.
We need dark and light, Zach. Dark and light. We're talking about Our personal selves?
I mean,
how we came to Dungeons & Dragons?
Our real selves?
Our real selves?
No, I think it'd be nice to know who you are, why you're playing D&D, why are you specifically playing D&D with me? Because it's sort of a big deal to put yourself on a podcast, I can imagine. You know, what is it that you want to get out of the whole process?
I don't know what the shit I'm doing. And the reason why I'm doing it is because of this man.
I think there was like a period where you, like when I was watching Critical Role, there was a period where you were like, what is this? This is so stupid. Why won't he stop?
This is true.
When, right before we started to play the game, I'd gotten you to watch one or two, and I mean,
I don't think I started watching until after we started playing.
Until after we started playing. You still thought I was kind of crazy.
Yeah. I think maybe I knew that you loved it so much, and so I agreed.
Let's manufacture a history for you then. It'll be your second character.
It's clear why you like Dungeons and Dragons, because you can manufacture a history. But I knew you liked it, so I agreed to do it. But then it was fantastic. And then it was easy, right? Like being able to play and goof off. And when I first realized I could roleplay urinating in a toilet and have a critical fail,
that
100% won
me
over to the game.
That was the first game, too. Your critical fail being into a sink.
That was good. I was like, this is the game for me.
So you came to love it by playing it. That's awesome.
Yeah, exactly. I think that we've proven our ability to adapt to some weird situations, right? And I think we'll probably push you just as much as you push us.
You want to go? You want me to go?
Sure. I'm not quite done, but I can wing the end of it. Okay. I don't have a clear view of the story that's being told. So basically, I'm under the impression that my basic arc is to get more earthly chaotic nature and get dirtier and wilder and fatter.
Oh, fatter's gonna be a thing?
I feel like it should be.
That's cool.
I have to get rotund.
Well, yeah, you're getting like the fertility
right.
of the world.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're becoming the earth mother.
Right.
Essentially. You're like becoming that lady that
fuck
they
that,
have
though. I think there may be an aspect of me that's like a glutton.
All right. Okay,
like,
no, you're a glutton.
Happiness and sadness and goodness and growing and death and dying and all the things.
Yeah.
And I think that might lead me to becoming rotund. Portlia was born in a very idyllic pastoral community of halflings called the Jolly Green Pastures. Which is just ridiculous, let's be honest.
It's like a retirement home in Florida, you know? Just nothing's going on in the Jolly Green Pastures on a Friday night.
I think that
everyone's in bed at 8.
That would embody how she feels about it. She was raised to, like, tend the farm, milk the goats, help with the fields, etc. And she kind of always felt a little bit like an outcast. So she would spend a lot of time with the animals, in particular the goats. Those were her favorite. For the goats, and she'd get up daily and milk them. And, you know, for those of you who don't know about goats, they're very stubborn creatures. They don't get yoked easily like cows or horses or anything like that. They like to be filthy and stubborn, and they eat trash, and they don't really give a shit. And she just absolutely loved them. And over time, she began to become more like the goat. Quite honestly. Very strong-willed, embracing the more filthy aspect of farm life. And she started feeling further and further ostracized, maybe in part due to her smell, among other things, from her halfling community. Started moving further and further out until she had created herself a little hut on the edge of town. And one day, Portlia followed her goat friends into the forest because they would go back and they'd eat the vegetation and whatnot. And she was caught by the beauty of the forest. And she had always been warned that outside of the pastures was chaos and danger and demons and what have you. And she almost instantaneously felt the opposite when she joined into the forest. So she wandered into the forest, and eventually she met a community of moon druids, the Lunara.
Circle of Lunara.
Yep. So the Lunara definitely welcomed Portlia into their community, and they taught her some basic rituals and stuff like that, communing with nature and nature spirits. But they kind of doubted her constitution, as well as kind of the motivations of this impulsive, 2.5 foot tall halfling kind of gone rogue. They were not quite sure what to make of her. And so she never quite got fully ingratiated into their clan. But she learned a lot, and she watched closely their magic and attempted to learn as much as she could, and really bent over backwards to try and ingratiate herself into the community because she was so enchanted with their ability to create druid craft and all of these other nature and wild things. And one night, during a new moon, so it was dark out, she woke up to the quiet murmuring of the elder druids. Thurlgood, who was the leader, was conferring with some of the warriors about a witch that was terrorizing the natural world. And this witch's name was Grunhilda. Just making shit up here, guys.
That's good.
That's surprisingly close to what I had come up with earlier.
So really?
We're gonna go with it.
Yes. And Grunhilda had essentially been like raping the lands and killing beasts for her own personal gain and using that to create her potions. And that was the point at which Portlia, being the impulsive woman that she was, decided she would take it upon herself to go to this witch and defeat her. Mind you, she really only knew a couple of spells, which were like druid craft and thorn whip, so she was definitely not equipped to handle such a thing, but that didn't occur to her, really, to tell you the truth. She was more avid about getting the druids on her side. So she snuck out to the swamp where Grunhilda had her cottage, and sort of in a spontaneous flurry started throwing thorn whips at her without a whole lot of success.
Nature shall avenge!
And Grunhilda very easily brushed her aside and just started laughing at her and decided to cast a spell and doom Portlia to sort of always embody the childish actions. And so now she's 1/2 foot shorter at 2 feet and looks to be 10 years old and pretty disgruntled about the whole thing. So she goes back to the Lunara, who find this slightly amusing because they've been putting up with her sort of sporadic antics for quite some time. And she realized that she wasn't really welcome there either. And she kind of took off on her own with her goat friend, Daisy. I'm not quite sure what's happening with Daisy, but I just felt like a goat needed to be part of my backstory. Mm-hmm. But also, you know, the experience with the witch created a dark side to it as well. It wasn't just the druids, like, creating. It was also, like, there is a natural balance to the world. If you are a child, you will look like a child. Everything has its counterpart, its yin and its yang. I was going to say soil because it represented kind of the, like, nexus between life and death. Things decompose and become soil, and soil is the fertility that grows the next thing, right? So soil was this, like, thing where it's...
Are you trying to justify her being dirty?
Yes! I am trying to justify her being dirty.
I think that, that works. That's a perfect justification.
I like that.
Yeah.
That's great.
I think of you, like, just walking down the road, little 10-year-old halfling girl covered in mud with a goat.
Yep.
With a little owl on her shoulder.
The goat is significantly taller than you.
Probably riding the goat. Why not?
Yeah, you should ride the goat.
I should ride the goat.
You can have a riding goat.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the paladin has a warhorse, so you can have a riding goat. That's fine.
I'm into this, yes. So Daisy, I will ride Daisy.
So
it's a necessary evil.
Goats are hilarious. If the goat moves at least 20 feet straight forward toward a target and then hits it with a ram attack on the same turn, the target takes an extra 2 bludgeoning damage. If the target is a creature, it must succeed on a strength check or be knocked prone. So the goat can, like, headbutt people over.
I'm into headbutting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I never quite felt like I belonged, but I wanted to belong really badly.
But does she like being cursed to look like a little girl?
No.
No.
No, I don't think she likes being cursed to look like a little girl, but I do think that she has a very childish spirit.
Cool. So this is good, because that's something that you can dig into as we play.
Yeah.
And figure out what that means for you.
Yeah.
And that you get to decide all of that.
Yeah.
Great. Okay, so let's start with Portlia.
Okay.
And we're going to have you... You're leaving the druid community. You've left Thurl. You've left the Circle of Lunara after having been cursed. You have Daisy the goat with you. Mm-hmm. We're riding her.
Mm-hmm.
What are you looking for? Where are you going?
I don't know. I think it's... I'm worried about role-playing this particular section. And the reason why is because in my mind, she's essentially like a wandering person who is very lost and like doesn't necessarily have a sense of direction.
So the north of you is called the Dark Forest. There's also a swamp where the witch lives. Those are both north of you.
Mm.
To the west, Great Plains, wilder elemental forces. There's goblin lands and like big mountains and maybe giants. East, there's sort of more cultivated lands. There's a great northern wall that holds back some of that dark forest. And south, you would go right into the halfling lands down towards the seacoast, either towards Southwatch by the sea or by the City of Peace. You are just wandering. Pick a direction that you're going.
Bum, bum, bum. I feel like the dark forest would be appropriate.
Cool. Mm-hmm. So if you start heading generally northeast.
Yep.
You know that you're trying to avoid the cultivated lands for now.
Yep.
You've decided, for whatever reason, that the rising sun interests you. It's new beginnings.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're going to follow that, riding on Daisy.
Mm-hmm.
You cross the Kern River. As you make your fording, you hear some mutterings on the far bank. You're wet. Your goat is wet. There are some bushes. You hear some mutterings beyond the bushes. What do you do?
Sneak. 18.
Ooh.
You creep up. Is a mouse. The goat also sneaks incredibly well for a wet goat. So you and Daisy sneak up to this bush, and you see that there is a band of goblins, maybe four of them.
Okay.
They have on animal pelts, hide, armor, that sort of thing. They look like they are trappers. They have a sledge. It's sort of snowy up here in this dark forest. They have cages on the sledge. There are some animals in the cages. There are some that are already pelts, been stacked and piled on this sledge. Do you speak goblin?
I speak a lot of languages, but do not speak goblin.
Okay, then you're not sure what they're saying.
Okay. But enraged. And so I think what I'm going to do is I am going to create a distraction.
So they're sitting around a sledge. There's a pony that is off to the side that presumably they could hitch up to the sledge at some point.
Okay. So that's what I'm going to do is I'm going to head towards the pony as stealthily as I possibly can. I'm going to untie it and give it a nice big wallop on its rear end.
So you sneak around?
Yep.
Stealth check.
A 4.
Okay.
Plus my 5. It's
okay. As you are untying the pony...
Yes.
You have to break cover. You weren't able to do this just from inside the bushes.
Yes.
Uh-huh. You're also only 2 feet tall.
Yes.
Actually, so I need to make a perception check for the goblins. Basically, one of them yells something in goblin, basically, hey, over there! They start running after you. The pony is loose. You have a goat who is still off in the bushes somewhere.
Okay.
What are you going to do? You have a couple of goblins charging at you.
I am going essentially take... the thing that I used to untie the horse, and then swing up, vault up onto the horse. I'm going to speak to the horse, because I can speak with animals. I'm going to essentially whisper, let's get revenge to the horse, and see what happens.
Okay. You have now mounted a pony, you've cast speak with animals, and you've told it that we're going to get revenge. The pony doesn't love the goblins. The goblins do not treat the pony well at all. So the pony is going to rear up and attack the first goblin that reaches it. Oh yeah, that hits. And drops one of the goblins, just instantaneously dead.
Boom, great.
Hooves to the face. Okay, now it's the goblin's turn. You're going to get three goblins attacking you. One of them's going to try and restrain the pony. That one does not work. So one grabs for the bridle and misses. And then the next two are going to attack you with scimitars.
Not a centaur, which is what thinking. I was like, where the fuck did the centaurs come from?
Goblin centaurs would be pretty awesome.
Actually. Yeah.
8 doesn't hit you. What's your armor class?
16.
Both scimitars miss you. You're on a rearing pony, and your goat charges in.
Yes.
Oh, and charges right past one of the goblins. Just like, head down, goat.
I fucking love you, Daisy. I love your spirit. I love it so much.
And just charges right past the
goat.
Yeah, uh-huh. Okay. And now it's your turn. What are you going to do? You're on the back of a rearing horse pony.
I'm going to, like, urge the pony to essentially knock the cages open, if possible.
Okay.
So
you can tell it to do that, and that's not an action. So you can also produce flame, you could thorn whip, you could do all sorts of things.
Okay, so I'm going to tell the pony to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And in the meantime, I'm going to thorn whip the... What am I fighting?
Goblins.
Goblin closest to me. And if I could restrain it, that would be ideal. Did not hit.
All right. You were distracted by a goat charging past. The pony is going to go over and do a strength check. And does really great. Rears up and bashes the locks off of some of these cages.
Mm-hmm.
Little woodland creatures fly out. Among them, an owl.
Yes! Awesome.
Are you going to talk to them?
All of the animals?
Yeah, are you asking them to help too, or are you telling them to fly away, run away?
No, I'm going to say let's get our revenge.
Okay.
These bastards have it coming to them.
Yep, okay, so they agree with you.
Yes.
There are some stoats and weasels that run out and run up the legs of these goblins. And make. If you ever try and fight with a stoat in your pants, not a good plan. Okay, so the goblins are dancing around with stoats all in them. The owl makes some flyby attacks and claws at the goblins' faces, leaving massive scarring.
I hope he also just poops on his head.
Also poops on them.
Yes.
With intent. Looks at you, poops on the goblin,
yes.
And then flies off.
Yes.
While
yes.
staring at you.
I like that.
It's a little bit
owl.
Of an awkward moment, but I mean, what a victory. Just eye contact.
Remaining goblins run. They're running away from this sledge.
Uh-huh.
Are you going to pursue them or are you going to work with your animals?
No, I'm going to celebrate with my animals.
Okay.
And in doing so, I'm going to use my druid craft and produce a bunch of hay and other edible objects for animals.
Nice. The animals are super happy with what you've done. You have a little crowd of
yeah.
stoats and weasels in particular are loving this.
Yes.
And the owl flies up to you, hovers in front of you, and then lands on your shoulder.
Cool. And then I'm going to speak to it. You may not know how to do this, but I'm going to teach you. We're going to high five. Put your wing up. And then it's going to put its wing up, and we're going to high five. Bond sealed forever.
Natural 20 for the high five.
Yes.
I think that was fated. Owl, little wing up.
Yes.
Except it's really silent. It's super soft.
Yeah, no. Yeah, it's not going to make a noise.
Now you've got these animals. What are you going to do?
Fuck the sledge. I don't have any purpose for a sledge. I don't know. I can search it and see if there's any food.
Perception check.
14.
You do find a couple of bags of coins. You'd like to keep them.
Sure, why not?
Money is useful in fomenting rebellion.
Mm-hmm. And then, I don't know, I'm going to essentially ask the animals where they want to go, because I don't really have a direction, so I might as well just team up with the animals.
They know they don't want to go back to the goblins.
Yeah.
Some of them are sort of eyeing each other, like some of the chickens are worried about the stoats and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
There's sort of been a detente during your reign of terror. It's the animal kingdom. There's a jungle out there.
There aren't any super vicious things. No one's going to kill my owl.
No, owls are pretty top predators anyway.
Yeah, no. Me and Daisy. I'm going to mount Daisy.
Okay.
And I'm going to essentially say, owl friend, I really like your high five. I feel like I should follow you. Where are you going?
He does a couple of swoops.
Yep.
Right in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
He says, we're going to the big tree.
And then, so we go to the big tree.
Through the dark forest. The owl is quite good at guiding you through the trees. Mm-hmm. The pony stays with the cart sledge thing, sort of wanders off. The stoats wave to you as you go away, and then they chase the chickens.
To each their own.
Yeah.
The short-lived peace was over.
You go from the River Kern a little bit south and east, and you get to this very big tree. Like, there's a clearing around it, trampled earth. The owl swoops up to the top of one of these branches. There's like a little nook and cranny.
Mm-hmm. I'm definitely going to try and get up there. And to do that right now, I know Thornwhip is a pulling towards me, but if the other object doesn't move, do I pull towards it?
I'll allow that.
Great. I'm going to Thornwhip, which again has never been my strong suit, one of the branches and try and hoist myself up.
I'm going to give you advantage on climbing. Uh-huh. So you have to roll an athletics check to climb.
17. Ta-da.
Yeah, you're able to climb up, no problem. Using the thorn whip as an advantage, you get up to this hollow in the tree, and it's a very deep place. There's like a little ledge where the owl has its nest, and you can see the skulls of little voles and mice and things underneath it that it's coughed up.
Yep.
You smells delicious in there, or perhaps horrific, depending on your point of view. There's a musky odor of owl and decaying things and living tree and all of that all together. Mm-hmm. It feels pretty good to you.
Yeah, I'm into this.
Okay.
Also, I really like that my owl friend regurgitates whole carcasses. This is a very fascinating thing for me right now. Like, never quite experienced this aspect of digestion.
Cool.
Yeah.
So you live there, presumably, for a little while. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say that time passes. And you've used this tree as a base of operations to make forays into the forest. You're experiencing different parts of the animal world.
Yep. Little Daisy's got her little grass circle around the tree.
Very nice little pasture.
Great. Cool.
She loves that. Mm-hmm. Things are going great for you for a while. Not sure how long. You haven't really been keeping track. Until one day, you see movement at the edge of your clearing. Give me a perception check.
15.
Nice. It's just on the edge of your scene. There are some boulders out there, and you see something moving beyond through, or maybe in front of the rocks. You really can't tell.
I'm going to whisper to Kahoot to go do a lookout, and I'm going to ask that she come back and shake if it's bad.
She flies down, does a bit of reconnaissance. She comes back.
Yeah.
And what did you want her to do?
Just shake if it's bad.
Oh, she doesn't shake. Have you cast Speak with Animals, or is this...
I casted Speak with Animals to ask her to go fly.
Okay. So then she can talk back to you. You can understand them. She reports that there's a figure that looks like a rock. A person who looks like a rock down there.
All right, cool. I'm going to scale my way down the tree. Presume that my animals follow me, because they're just kind of like that.
Yeah, Daisy nuzzles you.
Mm-hmm. And I kind of wander over there and come across...
As you wander over there with your little menagerie, a man pulls back a hooded cloak, and the cloak is stone-colored, and it was almost impossible for you to see. It was only because of this keen perception of the owl that she was able to see anything. And he steps out, sort of thin person, nice-looking.
Doesn't look like Brunhilde.
Doesn't look like Brunhilde. He says, "Hello, my name is Marcus. Who are you?"
"I'm Portlia."
"Oh, Portlia. That's a wonderful name. You are awfully young to be out here all by yourself."
"Age can be deceiving."
"So it can."
"What are you doing over here? This is my cool tree. You want to come join me?"
"It is a very cool tree. No, unfortunately, I do not have time to join you. You see, I'm a historian, and I work at the central city. And one of the things that I am interested in is all of the nature and flora and fauna of the northern woods. I feel that it is an understudied part of our ecology."
"I agree. Did you know about all of the things that owls puke up?"
"Tell me about all the things that owls puke up."
"Pretty much anything that goes in comes out almost completely whole, back up, minus all the flesh and stuff like that."
He pulls out a notebook and starts writing things down.
"Also, Kahoot's really good on pooping on command."
"Who's Kahoot?"
"The owl. The owl is really good at pooping on command."
"I'm sure that that comes in very handy."
"Do you want to explore with me?"
"Yes, let's do that."
"Great.
Have you found anything of particular note?"
"I like slime molds a lot. Do you like slime molds?"
"I would love to learn more."
Slime molds are cool. They're individual little cells that come together and then they become a fungus. But then they can separate too. Like if you could take off part of your skin and it was still a living creature. That's kind of like a slime mold. They're really good at finding dirty stuff.
There's something to what you say that has deep significance.
I think so. I think there should be more things like this. We're all individual cells, but we can come and make a giant fungus.
Yes, yes, exactly.
Spore beast.
Exactly. We have the power to change anything.
Spores.
You go and you explore some slime mold for the day, and he's really excited by it. You're really excited by it. You get along great.
Great.
By the end of the day, he regretfully informs you that he prefers not to live all the way in the out of doors.
Shame.
I understand. For some people, it is a choice. For me, really a necessity. My work takes me all over, and I cannot choose to live this life of natural brilliance that you have chosen for yourself.
Natural brilliance is right.
If ever you should find yourself in the cultivated lands near the central city, please come and find me. I work at the library in the central city, and I would be more than happy to show
you
some of our
collections. Collect some stuff and bring them to you?
Now that you say it, there is a rare specimen that I was hoping to find.
What is it? I just learned about a real type of animal called an F. Like, no shit. It's like EFT.
It's like a
yeah.
Sound.
Yes.
The elusive red eft.
So the elusive red eft.
The elusive red eft.
Okay.
So good. I also just like saying eft in front of kids a whole lot to this week.
Yes, there's a specimen that I have been looking for. The elusive red eft. You could find it in any of the various swamps around here, but I think you should be careful. There are goblins all around.
You're telling me. All right. I'll see if I can find an eft.
He gives you a little terrarium. He explains how you can keep it safe and secure because it doesn't like being jostled.
Let's agree to disagree on that one. They don't love being touched. It may be dead by the time I get to you, but it's not going in that goddamn tank, I'll tell you that much.
Fair enough.
Okay. Sounds good.
So he leaves, bids you a fond farewell, and so you're off on the quest for the red eft.
This is my favorite.
The quest for the elusive red eft.
Red eft. Eft this game.
Okay.
So now I'm gonna head to the swamp and start looking for my elusive red eft.
Daisy comes with you. The owl comes with you.
Daisy might may not make it into the swamp.
She probably doesn't love it. Her hooves sink.
Yeah.
She goes with you for a little ways and then...
Yeah. And I'm just going to tell her that it's cool. She's going to eat whatever she needs to eat and I'll be back shortly.
She rolls in the mud a little.
Yeah. Bit. Yeah. I dig that. You do you. Daisy, you do you.
Give me a perception check.
18.
Boom. You go through the swamp. You are able to see a couple of spots where there would be marsh gas. And you know that marsh gas is highly flammable. You've seen some goblin tracks through the swamp, so you know that they're around.
Is the air basically fairly gassy?
Yeah, it's incredibly gassy. So as you are going around, you find some good cattails and other reeds. You see some fish through the swamp. You see a little fisher cat wandering around, a little fox on the side, a couple of muskrats. A great nature experience for you. You hear some ducks, but you never see them. All of a sudden, right in front of you...
A red eft!
A red eft. His little red body. Little, not quite scales. He's got, like, this very close-knit skin on him. And little webbed feet just sitting up on a little tuft of grass.
Great. I'm going to essentially just dig a little hole under the tuft of grass that he's sitting on. So he's kind of on, like, an island wedge of marshy grass. I'm just going to kind of look around and then put it on top of my head and be like, that'll do. And then I'm going to wander back towards Daisy.
Squishy wet mud seeps down into your hair. That feels really good.
Yeah, I'm into this.
There's a little red eft sitting on your squishy...
A little confused, but doing all right.
Yeah, he's doing fine. He's not that far above the ground.
No, he's just too...
2 feet up. It's fine.
Maybe not.
Well, she's down. She's stuck in the marsh a little bit, too.
Yeah, you're like up to your waist, so it's really only a foot.
Yeah.
I'll have to remember that if I ever flood anything, that you're going to be swimming.
Yeah.
You get back to Daisy.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The owl is with you. She never left your side.
Yep.
She's looking at the red aft.
Mm-hmm. I hear that.
That's a snack for me?
No, not today, but I'm going to find you some extra worms, because I'm sure there's some around. So I start digging up other tufts of grass and try looking for some earthworms that
you
I can throw her
some
way.
Good worms.
Yep.
Juicy, thick, healthy worms.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
As you're walking back with the newt on your head, your owl on your shoulder, you are a little bit less prepared and aware of your surroundings. You're also sunk to your waist.
Yeah.
So you don't have the height advantage that you normally have.
Yeah.
And you blunder a little bit into a party of two goblins.
Okay.
And they're surprised, you're surprised, you get to go first. What are you
going
to do?
Great. I'm going to produce flame and... is there a gas vent anywhere near?
Perception check.
22.
There's a gas vent right on the other side of them.
Great. And I'm going to just throw my produce flame at the gas vent. Oh, Lord. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's going to be 12 damage.
Yep.
You have to make a dexterity saving throw to avoid it.
Okay.
Because you're far enough away, you only take half. Oh.
Oh.
You're going to get your eyebrows singed. Okay. So you're taking 6 damage.
Okay. All right.
What's your hit points at first level?
I don't know what it is at first level.
No, you get full hit points plus your constitution.
Okay.
So you're not going to die, but you're going to get seriously wolfed.
10 hit points.
All right, so you are down to 4 hit points.
Great.
And your eyebrows are burned off.
Okay.
But those goblins are dead.
Great.
The red eft has fire-resistant properties.
Ooh,
he's fine. Did the owl... the owl evaded.
Great.
So the owl was able to eat back and sort of ride the updraft of warm air and is now circling above your head. She hoots down at you that there are some goblins off to the north.
Okay.
So you should probably.
All right. So we're trucking out.
So from all of this so far, you should have 150 XP. So you'll still be first level by the end of this, but you're halfway to second level. And is your plan now to travel south?
Yeah, and go to the library and give him his newt.
You skirt the northern wall, you're able to get back to the Kern River, and you're sort of walking along the bank. Start to recognize some of this pasture land.
Jolly green pastures?
Jolly green pastures. So you start to recognize some of the landscape, and you know that you're near the Jolly Green Pastures where you grew up.
I feel anxious about this. Part of me wants to avoid it, the other part of me wants to just assume the best. And, you know, I do have a lot of dirt on my head, so that could affect things. I'm gonna go say hi to them and really just own who I am and be like, this is who I've become, mother and father. Take me as I am.
You cut a little bit south from the river. You walk down, you start to see fields. The first sign of fields and cultivation are fences.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
bad. And so you see the pasture, the rock walls from the plowed up rocks that get put up and to make these rectilinear, demarcated pasture lands. You see the
square.
You see the furrows in the ground, digging of the earth to create this order out of the natural chaos.
I don't mind the lines. That's what gets me.
Yep.
It's the lines.
So you continue. You just line after right angle after right angle.
Mm-hmm. No, we know this is not going to work out well.
And as you finally get to the center square of Jolly Green Pastures, there's a little field festival going on. Actually, some people recognize that there's somebody who's coming into town, and so a group of halflings come over. Some of them are wearing suspenders and overalls, and they've got their pipes and straw hats, and they're saying, "Oh, what ho! How's it going? Who are you? Oh, is that... could it be? My god, it's Portlea! Portlea!
Hello.
Get her a shower. Get her a bath.
Oh no.
She's come back.
Yes, I have come back.
What happened
to you? I wish to say hello to my mother and father.
What
happened to
the lizard on your head?
I am helping a famous historian discover the natural world. Thank you very much.
What? A historian? Who's that? Where are you going? What are you doing?
His name is Marcus. Also, I liked Fs.
What's an F? What the F is an F?
Th- this little guy is a mess.
She's got a lizard on her head.
Mm-hmm. He's fire resistant. Way cooler than you. I'm gonna be honest.
They seem like they are 100% confused about everything that you're saying. They sort of perked up when you said famous historian.
Yeah.
Because they thought that that was gonna be a good thing. And then now they're realizing that he's got you going all over the place, like digging in the dirt.
Yep.
They're not sure. They're pretty sure actually that this is not right. They start talking to you about, come home, my dear, come home. Be one of us again. You need to come back to your roots.
Oh, no, 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 no. No, no. Your roots are not roots. Mm-mm. You dig up your roots. And then you put them back in lines, and then you dig them up, and then you put them back in rhymes, and then you dig them up, and then you put, that's not roots, and I have no interest in partaking in your right angles, and your straight lines, and your parallel lines, and no, no, mm-mm. Where are the goats?
They're taken aback a little bit by your question. You get the sense that they think that you're insane.
Yep.
They point you towards your old house, where, as the foremost goat-raising family of the district, your parents have pens of goats.
Mm-hmm.
And barn, where the milking sheds are, there's a very nice gravel path.
Yeah.
There's a white picket fence.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thatched roof cottage.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, I'm gonna go, and in front of everyone, just totally nonchalantly, I'm going to open up every single one of the gates of the goat, where the goat pens live. And then I'm going to take my druid craft and essentially like run just a powerful surge of all your fucking weeds, like ivy, dandelions, ragweed, whatever I can like think of as like powerful weeds, crabgrass, that shit's not going away. And I'm just gonna like druidcraft the shit out of their farm so it's covered in weeds. And be like, you got it all wrong. Cultivate this and I'll be back when you're ready.
Cultivate this, motherfuckers.
And then I just take off because, okay. Like, fuck that shit.
Yeah.
And now I have also, like, a larger herd of goats following me.
There are weeds growing out of everything. They're coming out of the walls, on the thatched roof. They're coming out of, like, nooks and crannies. There's just weeds going everywhere. And it took you about a minute to make this happen.
Yeah.
And nobody was able to stop you. Yeah. Nobody was, like, a couple of people walked with you from this field festival towards your house because they didn't really know and they were sort of worried for you.
Yeah.
And they just watched you just essentially wreck the place.
Yeah.
Your parents aren't there. You have all of their goats. Maybe there are 100 goats now. And
the Pied Piper.
To be fair, these goats generally like what's going on. They get fed. They get nicely handled. Their udders get relieved once a day.
They wouldn't have to be relieved if they didn't mechanically breed them.
So these goats, they wander out.
Start eating the milkweed because that shit's sweet.
They do love that. Thistle. The monarch butterflies also love that.
Right, exactly.
So the goats are out. Many of them start going and like eating things off of other people's houses. Mm-hmm. The thatch, various tin cans, whatever. Goat chaos has ensued.
Yep.
There are weeds everywhere and you're going out of town.
Yeah, oh, I have no reason to be here, but like deuces.
You get back on your way. You continue down. There's a very reasonable path. I assume you don't take it.
I'm going to go fucking straight.
Okay. You're so off-roading. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. So yeah, the path twists and turns. You're going up and over hills. You're like crossing streams.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter to you what the road is. You're just going straight.
Yeah.
You eventually get to the City of Peace on an island in the middle of a river delta, surrounded by different communities on the shores. There's lustrous stone, golden spires. There is a port city. There's the ocean and a huge bay that you can see. It's the first time that you've seen big water.
Yeah.
So that's exciting for you, I assume.
Yep.
Lots, you can see gulls, and you can see some like jumping porpoises and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So.
And there's chaos to a city.
There's a lot of chaos in a city. So this is the first time when you've seen civilization meet your idea of chaos.
Yeah. Bewildering.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's like, whoa, what is this? We're going to find out more. Cross over a bridge, there's a canal and a riverboat. You see that there's a horse that has come up on the side with a rider. You go through a city gate. There are guards there. I assume don't care.
No. I'm fucking 2 feet tall. They won't even care about me either.
No, they
it's,
do not.
It's mutual.
So the guards do not notice you at all. You come through the gate and you're standing there and you see walking towards you this guy in stone-colored robe. You recognize him as Marcus.
Marcus!
He's right there. And you wave to him and just as you're waving and he raises his hand almost to wave back, you see the glittering flash of a dagger right behind him. There's a strike. Marcus is down in the street. There's an assassin who is off and running. We're going to stop right there.
That's a load of crap.
You're going to get to express that in the first group session.
All right. Great. And then the bumping's happening, and poor Leah's like, I can shake my tush.
And he's like, this is inappropriate.
Why you came to party? Because we can party.
Oh my god. I called this my twerking tree.
My twerking.
Do you do splits on
splits
trees?
Splits on trees. Hashtag splits on trees.
Hashtag splits on trees.
Hashtag splits on trees. Yeah, exactly. Oh my god, the lighting. It's
the longest link.
Also, he has really epic lights under his car.
Oh, he's got the
that's
running
great.
Lights.
Yeah, but they're like rainbow running lights.
That's nice. Bye, buddy. All right.
All right.
All right. Marcus is talking to you.